Well, let me walk you through what we're going to experience today in our service, because it's going to flow a little bit different than how our normal service flows. This service today is going to be all focused on prayer, which prayer is typically a part of our services, but the whole service is going to be focused on prayer. In fact, our title for this morning is Don't Worry, Pray. You're going to hear Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 come up multiple times during this service, and you'll hear the whole passage, but in essence, what Paul says is, when you're anxious, pray, which is a reminder of the idea that it's not just when we're anxious that we get to pray, it's in every situation, prayer is always the right response, and we want to be a church where we learn to pray together. And so today, you're not only going to get a chance to hear about prayer, but we're going to get a chance to pray together as a church family. And I think prayer is one of these things where we all know that it's important. Most of us feel like we should be doing it. Most of us are doing it to some degree. But part of the problem that we run into is, number one, a lot of us pray and we don't feel like we're very good at praying. And number two, and maybe this is because we don't feel like we're very good at it, we find ourselves not necessarily even wanting to pray. And then we feel bad about that. We see prayer as a burden, where prayer is meant to be this beautiful invitation of us experiencing oneness with God by communing with Him. And I think that there's a reason why sometimes we don't pray the way that we feel like we should. Maybe it's a little bit like this. Imagine if you said, I really want to get good at basketball because that looks like a lot of fun. And so you decided, here's what I'm going to do. Here's my strategy. Once every 3 weeks, I'm going to go play pickup ball for 20 minutes. You'd go and you'd do that. You would be bad. You would be tired. And you wouldn't be enjoying yourself. And then you'd go out 3 weeks later, and after doing that a few times, you'd say, well, this just isn't working. I guess basketball is either not as fun as I thought it was, or basketball is just not for me. Where if you decided you were going to do it consistently, if you decided you were going to learn about what's going on, not only would you get better and less exhausted, but you'd start to experience the joy of playing. I think too many times we give up on prayer. We just think, well, I guess it's just not for me, or I don't know what everybody's talking about. I don't really like it. It feels like a burden. I'm highly distracted. Have we put enough in to really learn how to do this well to the point that we not only can get better at it, but we can enjoy that wonderful union with God? And so we're going to orient our service today around an approach to prayer that a lot of believers have found helpful over the years. Some of you have probably practiced it. It's frequently called the ACTS form of prayer, A-C-T-S. A for adoration, where we bring our praise to God as a way to start our prayers to Him. C for confession, where we bring our failures and our shortcomings and our weaknesses and our sins before God and have the joy of experiencing His grace to us. T for thanksgiving, where we bring our gratitude to God for all that He's done. And then S for supplication, where we bring our requests and burdens to God and lay them at His feet. The way this morning is going to flow is that we're going to have a different one of us, a different leader come up and lead us through each element of this prayer. Talking a little bit about it, but then leading us into a way of praying right here and now. So in a minute, I'm going to start us through the adoration section, and we're going to get to respond to that by singing together, because when we sing, that's a form of prayer. It's us communing with God and speaking to Him. Andy's going to lead us through the confession time, and that's going to be a great chance for us personally to bring our confessions to God and experience His kindness and grace. John Altisti, our men's ministry director, is going to come up, and he's going to lead us through the Thanksgiving time, and we're going to get to respond to that by getting into groups and praying, don't leave. We're going to stay in here. If you leave when I say that, we'll know. It's great. We love doing that. And for S, for supplication, Tim Longo, our outreach pastor, is going to lead us through that and lead us through some ways to supplicate, but also that's going to culminate, and you see a whole bunch of green shirts in here, that's going to culminate with us commissioning our summer go teams and then taking an offering for them, because that's part of the requests on our hearts. So we're going to get a chance today not only to talk about prayer, but to pray together. And maybe you'll even find that this Acts model is something that you want to do because you find that it helps you have a structure for how you commune with God through prayer. So let's start off and let's talk about adoration. And for adoration, I'm just going to put up one verse. All right, guys, looks like we skipped ahead. But if we can just put up this verse. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15 says this. For this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. We have this great verse. I love this verse because it's God speaking and God is speaking about God. God is saying, here's what I'm like. I live in a high and holy place. When we're praying to God, we get this amazing reality that we are praying to the King. He is listening to us, and we're communing with the God who spoke the universe into being. He is the King. He is the sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful, which is good when you bring requests later. He's all-powerful. We are praying to the King. He's the high and holy one, and he dwells in a high and holy place. But right after that, he says, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. Also with the one who's humble, who doesn't think too much of themselves, who's maybe not impressive in the eyes of the world, much like Jesus spending time with the tax collectors and prostitutes, with the fishermen and the lepers. He dwells, he lives amongst people who are not terribly impressive and who know their desperate need for him. When we bring our brokenness to God, he doesn't shoo us away. He gladly welcomes him. And so when we think about praying our adoration, we get to remember that we are praying to a God who is the King and a God who also is so ready to pour out grace and mercy. And I think if we pray with those two realities in mind, prayer is going to feel a lot less like a burden and a lot more like a joy. One of the ways that I sometimes start off my personal prayer times when I'm at home or if I'm taking a prayer walk is that I'll just get my phone out and I'll play a worship song on my phone. And if nobody else is around, I'll sing along also. And I love doing this because it just enriches the time. For me, sometimes when I go right sort of into prayer, I feel scattered and I feel a little bit sort of not quite with it. When I start off with that song, it gives me a chance just to center on who God is and remember the joy that I get to commune with him. So over the past month, the song that I've used most frequently for this is a song that's not new, but it was new to me. We're going to actually sing it in a minute as the first part of our response time. It's called Your Mercy is More. And it's this amazing song that talks about the greatness and grandness of God, but keeps reminding us our sins, they were many. His mercy is more. Man, when I start off with that song, I feel like I am all in with God, coming to him, not as somebody who's requiring a burden from me, but somebody who's coming to lift burdens from me. So I'm going to invite you to stand right now. As I said, singing is the way that we are going to start our prayers today. We are going to pray through singing praises and adoration to the God who comes to us, and while our sins are many, his mercy is more.
Well, for the next part of our service, we're going to move into a time of confession. During this time, our prayer is that we would come before the Lord with honesty, sincerity, and bear the depths of our hearts before him, not trying to present ourselves as the good people we often try to do. John Eldridge has this quote that says, confession is the act of bringing our brokenness into the light of God's presence. We are not defined by our sin, but by God's mercy. And when we confess, we open ourselves up to the healing and restoration that he longs to bring. And so what we're going to do, we're going to have three areas that we're going to allow the Lord to reveal things in our hearts that we want to confess before him. And so we'll take some time of silence. I'll prompt us with a passage of scripture, and then there'll be a question on the screen behind me for you to reflect. And as God begins to bring things to mind, areas in your life, we just want to confess that back to him in this time. So this will just be between you and the Lord. In John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So the first prompt, what are the areas in your life that you have been living independently from the Lord? Take some time now. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And now, what are the areas of your life that you've been living in worry and not presenting those to God? Confess those to him now. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Lastly, what are the areas of your life that you have been living in sin by living opposite to the ways that God has called you to live according to his word? Confess those things now. And now as we continue this journey of confession, we've spent time confessing individually, but we're going to pray a prayer of confession corporately together. So we pray, most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. So the encouragement this morning comes from 1 John in chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of the gift of the cross, the sacrifice that Jesus made, we're able to stand before him confidently, clothed with his righteousness, not our own, a righteousness that has been paid for and bestowed upon us. We no longer bear the weight of our sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment to thank him for that. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of confession. It's your kindness that leads us to confession, Lord. We thank you for the grace that you've poured out so lavishly upon us. We acknowledge our need of you and ask that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit to live the lives that you are calling us to live. Amen. Amen. Because we have been forgiven this morning, we can now enter into a time of thanksgiving.
Good morning. Today, I'm going to take us through praying with thanksgiving. So when I'm praying with a heart of thanksgiving, I'm automatically drawn to who God is and what he has done. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul shares that our adequacy isn't within ourselves, it is from God. So once again, that takes me right to who is God. In Psalm 136, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his faithfulness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his faithfulness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his faithfulness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his faithfulness is everlasting." I love these four verses because it points us directly to who God is. We see in verse 1 that he is Lord. That's a proper name of God, Lord God Jehovah. And in verse 2, it takes us to God of gods. And notice the second God is a little g. And it's just stating that there is no other beside him. And then we move to verse 3, where it's Lord of lords. That is the Lord God Jehovah, who rules over authority. And then we have verse 4, him alone does great wonders. And once again, it's just taking us straight back to there is no other God beside our God. So who is he? Who is he? He is the Lord God Almighty. What does that mean? It means we serve a God who is omniscient or all-knowing. He's not omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's available to us. He's immutable. That means he's unchangeable. His purpose will never change. We see that he is holy. He's righteous and just, full of goodness. He is truth. This is who God is. Because he is truth, we can trust him. Because he is holy, God sets a standard for holiness. His character doesn't change. Because he is good, he loves us, and he blesses us. He is full of mercy and grace. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Jesus paid the penalty so we can have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. We were bought with a price. Now we experience his blessings. We're chosen. We're forgiven, redeemed, sealed, adopted. So when I lift up my prayers of thanksgiving, I'm overwhelmed because my adequacy isn't in me, it's in who God is. So I could be thankful in the good times because I know he's in control. I'm thankful for my wife, my kids, my son-in-law, my granddaughter who will be here next month. I'm pretty excited about that. I can thank him in my hurts and in my sorrows. We all have our struggles, but I know that God is in control. 5 years ago, I lost my dad. He had a brain tumor, and he went in for surgery. And really, it was right at the beginning of COVID, and 2 weeks after his surgery, he passed away. And because of COVID, my mom got a phone call from the rehab center, and they said, your husband's in cardiac arrest. Get to the hospital. So she called the hospital. They told her to come. She thought that she was going to get to see my dad, but when she got there, she realized that he had passed. So in that, they walked her to this back room, and there my dad lay lifeless. And she really talked about how she noticed that he's just a vessel. His spirit was gone. But it gave my mom an opportunity just to reach out and thank God for the 50 years they had together. And I just learned this week as I was preparing this. And then she said, as she was just looking, then she just rejoiced and thanked God again because she realized her husband, my dad, was with his Heavenly Father. So even in the hard times, we could thank God because he's in control. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what's the result of that? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be anxious about anything because we know we have a God who is in control and we can trust him. And one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. We can trust him. So I hope you can see when you pray with a heart of thanksgiving that you're drawn to God and who he is and what he has done for us. And realize we are not adequate in ourselves. Our adequacy is found in who God is. So now what I would like to do is read Psalm 136 again with you, but I'm going to ask that you would be in response. So I'm going to read the first part, and then I would like you to answer with, for his faithfulness is everlasting. And as we're doing this, let's focus on who God is and what he has done. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Praise God. Just remember who we serve. And we can be thankful for who he is and how he's revealed himself to us. So now we're going to move into a time of group prayer. And so what I'd like you to do is just with those around you, four or five, let's stand up and come together and let's focus in on who God is and what he has done. And so let's take some time and pray together, thanking him for who he is. And then I'll close this out. Thank you. And Lord, I just want to thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for how you reveal yourself to us. Thank you for how our adequacy is found in you. Thank you that we can praise you for who you are. I just ask that you would just continue to guide and direct this morning. And everybody said,
amen. Amen.
All right. So, supplication. Supplication is a big fancy word that really just means to bring our requests to God. If you didn't know what that word means, it's totally fine. To be honest with you, I kind of had to look it up myself. It's just bringing our requests to God. And the important part of it is that we need to bring our requests to him humbly. Now, there's two different types of requests that are pretty common that we bring to God. Requests for ourselves, things that are going on in our lives where we just need God's intervention on it. We can also raise up requests for other people. As people ask you to pray for them, we can raise those up to God and watch him work through those processes. Philippians 4:6, once again, just says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known or be made known to God. One of the commentaries I was reading about this verse summed it up beautifully when he said, the way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. God wants to hear the little stuff that we're like, ah, it doesn't matter, I got this. You don't. The big stuff where I'll figure this out, God wants to hear about that. God wants to help you walk through the minute details of our life. We serve a God that cares so much about each and every one of us in this room that he cares about those minute details in our lives. And he wants to have a conversation with us about that. How exciting is that? I absolutely love the thought of me talking to God about, man, what should I do next week? I have this opportunity. Where are you going to use me most? And God cares about that. Now, this bringing our requests to God is something that was modeled to me beautifully several years ago. My father-in-law's mother, so you do the math. Everybody called her Grandma LaVon, and Grandma LaVon was an amazing woman of God. Like, I think she loved Jesus before she was born. She was just a fantastic woman, and when she got married, she and her husband pastored churches their entire marriage, and this woman just never, you knew when you asked her to pray for something in your life, it was getting prayed for, and it was getting prayed for real. When she got to the end of her life, the family all gathered around her hospital bed one night, and somebody asked me if I would pray for her, and I said, of course. And so I laid my hand on her shoulder, and we began praying together. And the Holy Spirit really started just speaking to me and bringing, like, the requests of the room to my brain. And so I'm just lifting up request after request after request. And then when we were done praying, it felt like kind of, you know that time like when you're done and you're like, what do we do now? And it didn't feel right to just walk out of the room and be like, okay, peace out. And Grandma LaVon, she looked up at me and she kind of motioned like, hey, come closer. So I'm okay. So I went down and she said, Tim, pray I finish well. I was, oh my gosh, okay, you know. But what an example of, she continued to the very, very last minute of her life to continue to raise up her request to God. She wanted that last opportunity to represent Jesus before she went to be with him. And to me, that was like, this is how you pray. And this is how you do it for the rest of your life. So let's do it. We're going to take some time right now, and we're going to lift up our personal request. So we'll just silently pray. If you're like, oh man, I don't know what to pray for, pray for that. Pray, God, I don't know what to pray for, but bring something to my brain. If there's something that you think is too small, lift it up to him. If there's something huge, lift it up to him. So let's take some time and pray. God, we ask that you hear our requests. We ask that, Lord, you consider them. Lord, and we ask that you guide us in your answer, Father. God, we lift up the big things. We lift up the small things. God, if we're holding on to things in our lives, I pray that we're able to surrender them to you right now, Father. And God, that your Holy Spirit speaks clearly to us and guides us in exactly how you want us to proceed in every decision in our lives. God, thanks for caring enough to care about the small parts as well as the big stuff. Lord, we love you. And God, we don't deserve your love, but we thank you for giving it to us. In your name we pray. Amen.